This is Stateside. I'm April Bear. I walked into a Ford dealership in Southeast Michigan last week. The sales floor was full of staff, everybody on the phone, talking to customers, one or two in person. Ford is blessed with high demand right now for models like the new Mach-E and the electrified F-150 Lightning. But the salesman who I talked to looked exhausted and heaved a big sigh. I asked him how things were going, and he gestured out the window at rows and rows of shiny inventory on the lot. And he said, out of all these vehicles, only about 10 of them are new. There's scarcity enough to roil not just Ford, but several players in Michigan's auto industry, although Ford may be getting the worst of it right now. With us to discuss shortages in supply are Jamie Leroux, an automotive reporter for the Detroit Free Press. Jamie, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Also with us, Stephen Melnick, professor of supply chain and operations management at Michigan State University. Steve, good to have you.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Jamie, the automakers tell us that one of the main reasons why they don't have new cars to sell right now is a wider semiconductor chip shortage. Can you talk about chips and why there are so few of them available for cars and trucks right now?
Oh, yeah, sure. It's been a problem that's been going on since earlier this year. And basically it started during COVID. As people started working from home, they started to use more of their laptops and cellular phones, all the things that the semiconductor chips go in. And then rolled into that was the fact that the automakers had idled production during COVID for 8 weeks and had kind of put their orders for these chip parts on hold. So now it comes I guess
under other circumstances, other kinds of crises and recessions, that would have been a pretty normal thing to do, right?
Yeah, it would. And, you know, like I say, most automakers, they figured once they even start production again, they're going to not have the same kind of demand that they did previously. They miscalculated that. And there was very big demand, pent up demand, when they restarted the factories, and they couldn't get the chip parts. And between the demand from other industries, small electronics, along with demand from the auto industry, there just aren't enough chips. And it's created quite a problem, and they can't complete a lot of the cars because these chip parts, and I keep calling them chip parts because it's not just a semiconductor chip. There could be thousands of these chips in just one car part. And so this is the problem. And then you roll into that, there's been other problems. There were storms earlier this year in the South that shut down some production, and that put automakers behind. They're still trying to ramp up production from when they were shut down for 8 weeks during COVID. So it's just been the perfect storm. And a lot of automakers are struggling to keep up with demand, and dealer lots are very thin.
Steve Melnick, business leaders really across the economy are under enormous pressure to make quick pivots and limit short-term disruptions and ensure a high degree of agility in their supply chains. Should we be surprised when unexpected circumstances like this cause everything to hit the fan?
Not really, because I'm going to build on what was said previously. The reality is most companies, especially the auto industry, doesn't understand the new realities. And the new realities require a very different approach to supply chains. Number one, the recovery from the pandemic was rather unusual. It's what's known as a K recovery. And what a K recovery means is that the people who work the minimum wages, the service jobs, they basically were hit the hardest. People like myself, professionals who could work from home, didn't. And they recovered very quickly. So when there was an opportunity to buy computers or buy cars, they were able to do it. But the problem that you had was when you're dealing with chips, you're dealing with a product that's in scarce demand. There's not a lot of companies, areas that can make chips. And you're also dealing with a product where the stuff that the auto industry was looking for was rather old technology. And the chip capacity had been dedicated to the new technology, which was being used in the gaming computers, business computers, whatever. And this was a reality in which you couldn't look at a computer company, a chip making company, and say, I'm Ford, put me at the top of the pile. Doesn't work that way. The irony is that the auto industry was not impacted evenly. Give you an example.
Yeah, I want to say Honda is in reasonable shape right now in terms of its supply.
No, Toyota is
right?
in better shape. Toyota is in better shape.
Toyota, yeah, okay.
You know why? Because what they had done that the rest of the auto industry didn't do is they looked and developed visibility in the supply chain. So they looked beyond the first tier. They looked to the second tier, the third tier, the fourth tier. They saw that there was going to be a chip problem. And they did something which for many people was just totally shocking. They kept inventory. Toyota, which had been the classic example of a company which had run lean for many companies, that means no inventory. They were putting in inventory. They could see it. Now, here's something to think about. If you're going to develop visibility and talk about agility, you have to have good relations with your supply chain. The auto industry traditionally has not been known for its relationships.
So, Jamie, what are the Michigan-based automakers doing for now to cope with the high demand and this huge supply problem?
Well, I'll jump on what Steve is talking about in terms of supplier relations, because that in many ways has put General Motors in probably the best position of the Detroit Three, because they too have good relationships with their suppliers. They've worked hard on that and they are working tirelessly. They have like a 24-hour team that is in touch all the way down to the fourth tier supplier to redirect whatever chip parts they can get their hands on to their highest profit, most in-demand vehicles, which are large SUVs and pickups. And so they've been able to maintain production of those vehicles by redirecting parts that might have gone to, you know, the Malibu, for example. Instead, they sent it to a Silverado. And that's helped them quite a bit. That being said, all three of them have had to idle plants. They've had to shut down lines. They've had to stop production periodically because they just didn't have the parts. And they still are doing that. Ford is still doing that. And GM has a strategy where they build shy, is what they call it, where they'll build a vehicle just shy of whatever chip part is needed, park that vehicle, and then wait for the chip part to come in and then finish production and get it to a dealership. And that's worked, and they've been actually able to clean up a lot of that. And so that's been one of the strategies. The build shy strategy is one that GM has employed.
That's so crazy to think about all those vehicles sitting there with everything in place except the chips. If you're just joining us, my guests today are Jamie Leroux, who reports on automotive industry issues for the Detroit Free Press, and Professor Stephen Melnick in supply chain and operations management at Michigan State University. Steve, Americans aren't really used to this kind of shortage. And at this point, at least, those who can seem willing to pay more for what they can get rather than waiting for prices to go down. Do you think that's unique to American consumerism?
No, but essentially that's a short-term fix. I was reading an article about the problems that are now being encountered in terms of used cars, new cars. And in addition to the comment that Jamie talked about, which is building shy, another response has been to build with fewer features. And we're starting to see some features critical have been stripped off. But the short term is, yes, companies are paying more. But the reality is that's attacking the symptom. If you're going to attack the root cause, and this is what I think differentiates the good companies from the not so good, you've got to take a step back and say, okay, what we have here is a result of us failing to understand or manage our supply chain properly. And I'm glad to hear that GM is doing what it's doing, because in 2008, when we did a study on the recession, GM was not one of the companies suppliers talked about in glowing terms. Mm-hmm. And what you have to do is you have to understand that your supply net is really important, because it gives you a lot of visibility into the world. And what Toyota learned from 2011 when it got hit by the tsunami, I don't know how many of you remember watching in real time, the television where you saw the airports being wiped out.
Right.
What they learned very quickly is that they didn't manage the supply chain beyond the first tier, and they went and did that. So in the short term, yes, let's pay more, let's get it. We're going to be in a bidding war. The result of that is going to be what you're seeing right now, which is car prices are increasing faster than we've ever seen them before. But that's a short-term action. The long-term is, let's get to understand our supply chain. Let's build better relations. Let's work together. Let's share information. And that means you have to be more than interested in just treating the supply chain management game as a poker game. What you lose is what I win.
Right. Jamie, are there other factors that are coming into play for the automakers? We know that retail and other sectors are having trouble staffing up right now. Does that extend to automotive?
Well, I just wanted to jump on something else that Steve was talking about in terms of managing things. GM has also done something that is kind of new and good for them, which is managing their dealer network as well as communication. They've started some technology that will allow dealers to track when a vehicle has been built and put on a truck so they can communicate with their customer. It's on its way. It should be here in this many days. And other ways that they can look through the supply chain, the production chain.
What's the value of that at the point of sale?
Well, it's helped dealers quite a bit because most of these customers go on these lots like you did, and they don't see any new cars. And in fact, even used cars is thin. If you don't have a new car, it's hard to get a trade-in, right?
Right.
So if you have a dealer who can go in the system, place your order, and tell you when it will be there, you're much more willing to make that purchase. And so this technology has created transparency for the dealer network, which has helped them secure their customers. It's made them more efficient. They are reaching out. A lot of dealers right now across brands are reaching out to people in leases and offering them early outs on their leases so that they can get that vehicle back and sell it.
I feel like that's the equivalent of giving someone a great deal on selling their house, though. Like, if you get out of your lease, you have to be able to have another car.
That's the thing right now. If you have a used car, you're going to get a ton of money for it, you know, but at the same time, you better have another car to drive until the prices for new cars and then even buying a used car go down, because the prices to buy are very high. It's just like the housing market.
Hope you like Toyotas.
Yeah, so that's been one thing that GM has done as well. I didn't mean to distract your other question. So what was the other question you wanted to ask me?
What kind of situation is Detroit facing in terms of labor shortages for automotive assembly and operations?
Well, I wouldn't say they have a shortage because the plants have their staffing, okay? But what they do want are temporary employees that fill in for the permanent employees that have to go on vacation or take time off or whatnot. That's where they're having a problem, as everybody is right now. Anybody who pays $15 or less an hour is struggling to get people. That people are making that on unemployment. And why would you want to take a temporary job when you're not even sure what kind of hours you're going to get? You may be called in at 3 o'clock in the afternoon to come in and work the night shift, and you've had no warning. In the past, those were good jobs. They paid, $16 an hour, I think, and they could lead to something permanent full time. Now, people are looking at that saying, I don't know if I want to do this. And I wrote a story too about the other problem is they test for marijuana. And a lot of people don't want to be tested for marijuana for those jobs. And the plant management has pushed to not test for that because it's legal in Michigan. Why are you testing for it? But right, they still do.
I'm thinking about the things you said about some very embedded problems in how the automotive sector reacts to supply chain issues. And I'm thinking about what just happened with the pandemic and the fact that demand for semiconductors is probably not going down anytime soon. If anything, there are probably even more products and services that are going to rely on chips and chip parts. Do you think there is a return to normal? Like, how should the auto industry be thinking about this? And maybe where does that leave us as car customers? Are we going to see a point at which supply of cars gets to some sort of closer equilibrium with demand?
The answer is yeah. I expect that by the end of this year, we're going to start to see car prices go down, especially in the used car prices. I'm going to expect to see the chip production because of the fact that, for example, the TSMC in Taiwan is going to ramp up production and give priority to the automotive. We're going to start to see a return. And the reason we're going to start to see a return is because what we're being hit by right now is a perfect storm of developments. In addition to the fact that there's now been a recovery and people are demanding cars, you also had something else that contributed to it, and that's what happened in the rental car market. Last year, when we had the pandemic, rental car companies like Enterprise and Hertz, they had a ton of inventory, which was cars. And guess what they did with those cars? They sold them, which is one reason last year, if you wanted to buy a used car, it was a great market. Now what's happening is we're seeing a recovery. The rental car companies need cars. So when you're going out and buying a car, you're not just simply competing with someone else in your neighborhood. You're also competing with Hertz, with Enterprise. And we're going to start to see that demand ease off when the rental car companies get their supply back online and they get adequate number. And I expect to see that by third quarter, we're going to start to see a return to some form of normalcy. But the reality is it's going to be good, but my question is still the one I posed to you at the beginning. How are the companies going to react? And oh, by the way, this is not the only problem you're going to start to see facing that's coming out of the supply chain. You're also going to start to see problems with things like cybersecurity. And that's something else that's coming down the pipe.
Can I just jump on that for a second?
Please, Jamie, yes.
Yeah, what Steve is saying is really spot on because Mary Barra, GM CEO, has said now a couple of times in different venues that GM will not be going back to the days of oversupplying their dealerships and offering heavy incentives. They have learned now that having lean inventory and managing it really efficiently is a better way of doing business. And while we'll have more inventory when things return to normal, we're not going back to the days where you're seeing those overflowing lots and, you know, dealers offering these crazy deals to push inventory out. Those days are going to be in the past, according to GM.
They have to be. It costs too much nowadays for a car.
Jamie Leroux is an automotive reporter with the Detroit Free Press. We've also been talking with Professor Stephen Melnick of Michigan State University, a professor of supply chain and operations management. Steve, Jamie, thank you for shedding some light on this for us, and especially the long term.
Thank you.